Good morning on a Wednesday morning with our political observer, Alan Chartok. You know, we have to whistle while we work.
We do. We whistle while we work because that's the way we get through.
Getting through the comments by Donald Trump, presidential candidate. And here's a couple of headlines. Trump's call to bar Muslims is met with withering fire across much of the political spectrum. Although being praised on the right, Trump cited FDR and World War II as precedent for his comments about barring all Muslims. Then there's the world reaction, in a word, befuddlement and condemnation as well from Europe and beyond.
First of all, it's very interesting to see what the competitors in the Republican primary are doing. Most are saying this is a terrible thing. He shouldn't have said it. It's un-American. And you had people like Speaker Paul Ryan and others who were doing what I would consider to be the right thing. However, many of them, when confronted with the following question, if he gets the nomination, would you support him? They say, no, we will support the Republican candidate. So in other words, you can say something despicable and terrible and the rest of it, but in the end, conventional and practical politics reigns.
Meanwhile, the fear across the country is showing itself in increased gun sales. The FBI says nearly 25% jump now in background checks for firearms over the last year, and a number of people quoted in the Times Union article having prior feelings of not owning guns, but now saying because an attack could come from anywhere, we need a gun.
First of all, as the sense gets widespread that there will be some kind of sensible gun control in this country one way or the other, people are saying, oh, I better get mine fast because pretty soon I won't be able to get them. Unfortunately, that's what happens. You will remember that Wyatt Earp is alleged to have collected all the guns in town. You couldn't bring a gun to town because if you didn't have it, you wouldn't use it. Conversely, I guarantee you that we will have a spate of stories about people who, quote, felt threatened and who shot somebody else. Look, if people have guns, they're going to use them. Sooner or later, they use them. If they leave them lying around, their kids use them. And we have a Supreme Court of the United States, a Republican Supreme Court, I may say, and I don't care what anybody says, that's the case, will rule for the Second Amendment arguments, despite the fact that things are so bad. You know, I interviewed Elizabeth Esty yesterday, who is the congresswoman who represents the Sandy Hook schools, and she's just bereft. She just doesn't understand why we can't use our brains and our minds to make this all right.
Can the fear that translates into more gun sales translate into different voting behavior?
Well, you have lobby groups like the NRA. We do know that a very small group of people come out and vote in the Republican elections and that they tend to be from the far right of the party. And therefore, you know, they happen to have swallowed this particular glass of Kool-Aid and they will vote based on that. So, yes, voting behavior can be very much influenced, which is the way we pick our candidates in this country.
The closing arguments are starting in the trial of former Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos and his son Adam. And witnesses at the corruption trial said that Dean Skelos spared no effort to get his son Adam a job and a number of favors. They detail these throughout the article.
David, it's always been so. You show me a parent who doesn't love his kid, doesn't want to help. The question is, do you go over a line? Is there a line in which you are helping somebody, but by using your official position to do so? The government has tried to show that this is what happened, and they've used some very specific conversations and wiretaps and other things to prove that Dean Skelos was asking for help from his official position. Piperara deserves a great deal of credit because what he's done is to say, okay, we're going to tighten up the lines and we're going to hold people responsible for this kind of behavior. Whether there's a one person on a jury who says, ah, come on, it was just a papa trying to help his kid, is a whole other story. Look, there has now been a decision by Dean Skelos. He does not want to get on that stand. Obviously, if you're on the stand, you have to answer not only questions from your lawyer, but from the prosecutors. And if you get asked a question and you don't answer it truthfully, that's perjury. And we have seen legislators go to jail for that. So he chose not to testify. I think this is going to be an interesting decision. I wouldn't count on a conviction here, although Barrera has shown himself to be an amazing prosecutor.